message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord, is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Our study today brings us to the fourth stanza of that beautiful prophetic hymn recorded for us in Isaiah 52 and 3. The theme of this hymn is the suffering of the messianic servant. While the temptation is to see the nation of Israel in these verses, a careful analysis of the context reveals that only a person can meet the full descriptive comments of the passage. That person, we believe, is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. In the first stanza, Isaiah 52, verses 13 to 15, the messianic servant is identified as a singular or unique servant. There is no one else like him. The second stanza, verses 1 to 3 of Isaiah 53, reveals the Messiah to be a sorrowful servant. And then in verses 4 to 6, which is the third stanza, we find him revealed as a substitutionary, sin-atoning servant. Stanza 4 is made up of verses 7 through to 10, where the messianic servant is shown to be a submissive servant, a servant who willingly submits to God's will in order that a redeemed community might be saved. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on the eve of his death, Jesus spent time communing with the Father in prayer. Matthew 26 and verse 39 allows us to intrude into that sacred scene and hear the very heartbeat of the Savior. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not as I will, but as thou wilt. And again in the 42nd verse he prays, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Submission to the Father's will is the very hallmark of Yeshua's life and death. There are five phrases in Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8, that communicate the truth of the submissiveness of Messiah. There are three of them in verse 7. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He is brought. And then in verse 8, there's two. He was taken, and he was cut off. In verse 7, the phrases reveal Messiah to be the submissive payer of my debt, while in verse 8, he is shown to be the submissive taker of my death. The first of these five phrases describe Messiah's experience at the hands of a taskmaster. It describes the brutalization of a person at the hands of a taskmaster. A good example of this kind of oppression is seen in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, where God is said to have observed the brutalization of his people at the hands of their Egyptian taskmasters. Hear the words. And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, or oppressors, for I know their sorrows. Of Yeshua HaMashiach, the New Testament reveals that his witness was maligned, his claims were ridiculed, and his blessed brow mockingly crushed with a crown of thorns, and his body was pierced through with nails and spear. What is of further interest is that the word translated oppressed may also be used of the rigorous exaction of the payment of a debt. What a precious application to the sinner is this thought. For Messiah paid the debt of sin that we could not pay. He took the burden upon himself and paid the debt in full. The second phrase is equally as revealing. He was afflicted. The affliction experienced by Messiah Jesus, while in some ways very similar to that experienced by other men, differ in some respects. For example, Messiah willingly submitted himself to it for the sake of sinful men, whose souls he was intent on redeeming. His affliction, while in many respects physical and emotional, nevertheless had a spiritual dimension about them. We see the agony of soul he experienced in the garden, and the cry of his heart when during the hours of darkness he sensed his separation from God. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" was his cry. Here is an indication of the spiritual depth of the suffering that Jesus experienced. The Jewish rabbi, Paul, describes the affliction of Jesus in his letter to the Philippian church. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Philippians 2 and verse 8. The writer to the Hebrews also states something similar in chapter 5 and verse 8. "Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." While Messiah willingly submitted himself to the oppression and affliction of his enemies, it was not the submission of ignorance, as when a sheep is led to the slaughter. He knew full well what was in store for him as he gave his life as an offering for sin. Nor was his submission one of frustration due to weakness, unable to do anything about his circumstances. He could have extricated himself at any time. As the hymn writer has so ably put it, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. The third phrase takes us into the sheepfold, where Messiah's submission is described as being brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The picture is that of Messiah's complete submission to the task at hand, that of giving his life as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of men. When called upon to answer his accusers, Jesus remained silent. They had their agenda, to rid the country of a threat to their ministry. Jesus had his agenda, one totally different to that of the religious leaders who sought his death. To the Romans and the religious leaders, the cross was a brutal instrument of death. To the Savior, it was an altar. To his executioners, he was being put to death. To Messiah Jesus, he was offering himself as a sacrifice for sin. To his accusers, it was the end of a troublesome individual. To the Messiah, it was the beginning of a great movement. This brings us to the last two phrases in verse 8, where again the emphasis is on the servant Messiah giving his life in death for sinful men. He was taken, and he was cut off. These two phrases, when tied together with the closing words of verse 8, make it very clear Messiah was giving his life as a willing sacrifice for sin. "For the transgression of my people was he stricken." As we come to the end of this particular stanza, one cannot help but notice the unique references in verse 9 to Messiah's death. "And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death." How amazingly accurate is this prophetic statement in its fulfillment in the life of Jesus the Messiah. For example, at Messiah's trial, before Pontius Pilate, a thief and an assassin was released, and Jesus was made to take his place. He who should have died a criminal's death was set free, while he who was innocent and should have been set free took the place of the condemned. Again, it is noteworthy that two felons were crucified alongside Jesus. The tax gatherer turned disciple Levi describes them as thieves. One of those who died with Jesus openly confessed his guilt and his belief in Jesus' innocency. Luke describes the scene in this way. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering him, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly? For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Following Messiah's death, a rich man named Joseph of Arimathea begged Pilate to have Jesus' body released into his care. Receiving permission to take the body, this wealthy man interred Jesus in his own tomb. Prophecy again was fulfilled. Yeshua HaMashiach willingly yielded himself to be condemned as a criminal and executed as a criminal with criminals, but he was afforded the honorable burial of a man fully innocent of any crimes. The sins he bore that day were the sins of other men, even as the Apostle Peter writes, For Christ, that is the Messiah, also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. How can sinful men experience the fullness of Messiah's work of redemption? The answer is found in the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 21. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions as to how you may experience the reality of Messiah's redemption in your life, please write to us here at Message to Israel. Shalom. May the Spirit of God work in your heart and mind.